Now, back to a special edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, live and on location.
All right, we are back here on Cleveland Browns Daily, live from the Red Ivy, out here in Chicago, where the Browns and the Bears wrap up the preseason tonight. The final game, guys fighting for their roster spots. We'll have Kevin Jones and Andrew Gribble with us for the last half hour. Now it's time to get into your phone calls, 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. On Twitter right now, Gary Youngstown saying, I want to keep Maley and TP. They better give me a reason for that tonight. Need to be done making excuses and compete. People want to see these guys. These are the potential. The reality with this Browns team is as good as you and I hope that they can be. We're realistic about it. You want to have the guys that are going to be there for you when you hopefully implement all your plans and are ready to compete for a Super Bowl in a couple of years. So to me, that's where Pryor and Maley fit in more so than some of the older guys.
Nathan, I get it, and I think the guys that we've signed, and I kind of just overhearing you talk while you're off air is. I think why these guys are being signed, not necessarily I'm not securing the thought of giving them the kind of money that we've given them, is they give this team a little bit of an edge. And I thought that in 2014, Dante Whitner and Carlos Dansby, the signing of those two guys, the edge that they brought to our defense was looked at very positively, and they sought out another both competitive edge and just all in all experience edge to this football team as you try to redevelop, regrow the roots of this football team by drafting your talent, re-signing your talent, and as we saw with the release of Phil Taylor, kind of weeding out some of the guys that don't fit the mentality and don't fit the growth process that Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer are truly trying to create here in Cleveland.
Absolutely, and they brought in, listen, I think they've done a very good job in terms of turning everything over in relation to the composition of the roster, the leadership on the roster, and obviously the veterans on this roster. When you played on teams in San Diego and you got down to this, do you guys talk about, you know, who you think is competing for a spot, et cetera, things like that, how many guys you might be able to, you know, see, we're going to keep this many wide receivers, or we're going to keep this many DBs, or, you know, the linebackers, you know, I think we're going to keep this many linebackers. You guys talk about things like that?
It's not necessarily. I mean, sometimes between one teammate and another, it's not talked about at all in group settings or position groups. If you're one of those guys that's on the bubble at your particular position, you cautiously and optimistically look at other positions and just as you and I have done since the start of training camp, trying to build our 53, one with you on it, one without you on it. You know, one with a guy like Terrell Pryor making the team, as you said, maybe keeping 8 wide receivers, then you go through a roster and you keep it with 7, and trying to create a scenario that gives you a realistic look on whether you're going to make the team or not. But some of the young players are doing that, but I hope that they don't feed into that and really just focus on what tonight means to them and how they can capitalize on it for the career. And I thought the comments by, you know, Thad Lewis and even Billy Winn last week in an interview with Andrew Gribble talking about, I'm not only putting tape out there for the Cleveland Browns. If I make it here, I make it somewhere. I have an opportunity to make it somewhere else. Putting quality tape out only does good for you in building your resume and being attractive to not only the Cleveland Browns, but 31 other teams as well.
So offensively, we pretty much highlighted that this game is absolutely massive for Maley, for Pryor. I think not massive for Dwayne Bowe. I think Dwayne Bowe is an absolute lock to be on this team, but I do want to see him start to show the form that we're hoping for at wide receiver. I think that this is a big game for those backup offensive linemen. It's a massive game for Hausler and for Bibbs. Who on defense is this a huge game for? Is this a big game for Billy Winn? I think it is.
I definitely think it is. I think it's a big game for Billy Winn. I think I think Jamie Meter wants to continue the wave of success that he's had. I know that you believe he's on the team. I think that based on what they've done around him with Kitch and Phil Taylor, he's probably made the team. So they're going to save some money there. He'll want to keep the wave going. Hayes Pollard is a guy that I think needs to have a big game. He was around the football an awful lot in the Washington game. Haven't heard much of him in the Bills or the Bucks game, but a solid young player, another draft pick of Ray Farmer that you hope can at minimum make this practice squad and potentially compete with Tank Carter, who I don't believe is an absolute lock, but I think we can pencil or even, you know, write in his name as making this football team. He's got a lot to prove tonight. And then, you know, you talked about Saunders in the, on the back end, the continued development of Ibrahim Campbell, who's going to make this football team. So the guys that I've mentioned are going to make up that four or five last roster spots here in Cleveland, and it'll all be determined tonight in Chicago.
It will be all determined tonight. So let's look at the defense right now. They've still got 10 defensive linemen on this team. I think Dylan Wynn is a guy who looks like he could be headed to the practice squad. Jacoby McDaniel, I think, playing for his life right now. And then also, you've got Billy Wynn there. And we know the top six are pretty much set. It seems like Meter, maybe that's seven. So Billy Wynn is the one that I'm focusing on, really trying to make this team. And seeing what Dylan Wynn can show in a game where he's going to get to play more than he's had at any point this year.
Sure. And is he a guy that Mike Pettine spoke about has played out of position for a majority of camp because of injury? So where are we going to see him? Are we going to see him at the 5 or 7 technique and the defensive line where he most likely would be a contributor on the practice squad and potentially on the active roster? Or is he going to play some of that end position for us in that 7 or 8 technique, I guess you could say, out there outside the tackle as well? So he's a guy that doesn't lack any energy, doesn't lack any focus, and I'm sure mentally wants to capitalize on tonight, but it's all about the situations that he's going to be put in based on who's going to be playing this game around him, especially in the second half.
Yes, Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm here. Matt, as we go to the linebackers now, I think we're pretty confident inside linebacker what's going to happen there. Looks like Carter, Kirksey, Robertson, Dansby, Hayes Pillard with a good chance to maybe make the practice squad. Outside linebacker, Orchard, Mingo, Solomon, Kruger, Mike Riley, the only other one on the roster right now. And Riley's going to get to play a lot. This is an opportunity for him to put tape out there and say, maybe I should be on a practice squad or auditioning for another team, because you're not going to have Mingo. You're not going to have likely Nate Orchard. Now, Armani Bryant also transfers over and can play some outside linebacker. And I thought the duo of Orchard and Bryant were dominant a few weeks ago.
Yeah, and that's, again, the struggle at this point for the Cleveland Browns with their play, as you said, maybe one of the weakest links on this defense is going to be at outside linebacker. And tonight, without potentially having Orchard, Barkevious Mingo still recovering from surgery, does Scott Solomon play tonight? He's experienced, I guess, as a starter, as we heard from Kevin
you
Jones earlier.
See him.
You got to get game reps. You know, he's got everything he can do to prove his value, and the more you learn about him, just helps solidify his role here in Cleveland. But I would not leave so those guys are going to play an awful lot of football tonight, and that's why a guy like Dylan Wynn might even be asked to stand up in a two-point at times and rush the passer in an obvious passing situation where he can, you know, showcase what he can do as a versatile end/outside linebacker as well. But Armonte's a guy coming off an injury. Does he play an awful lot tonight? I think he does, but then he's going to be asked to be counted on during the regular season. So we have guys that are starters/contributors playing in the fourth preseason game. It's not all ideal, and in some cases you hope you can avoid injury coming out of this game tonight.
You certainly do. All right, we're going to go to the Ohio Business Machines hotline right now and bring in John Mullen from CSN Comcast in Chicago. John, thank you so much for being with us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty 4. We've been talking at length what this game means to the Browns tonight. Anything up for grabs, any serious things that you're looking at for the Bears tonight?
Well, the Bears have a major problem at on the right side of their offensive line. You know, not a sexy topic because it's not like a quarterback controversy or anything like that, but they thought they had a right tackle in a guy named Jordan Mills, fifth-round pick, who actually started all 16 games this year in 2013. But that's a spot that the situation is such that you're probably going to see Jordan Mills starting at right tackle. You're going to see Vladimir Dukas starting at left, at right guard. And whichever guy plays better may dictate where all, you know, two-time Pro Bowl guard Kyle Long ends up. They're still wrestling with, we got to get our best five on the field, so they don't have them. So, yeah, this is one of those rare instances where the fourth preseason game is really important for a couple of guys.
John, your first-round pick this year was taking Kevin White out of the University of West Virginia. What kind of detriment has it been to the offense and your playmakers outside of Ashlon Jeffery for Jay Cutler and Matt Forte? How hard does that really hit this offensive side of the football?
Well, I think it's been incredibly damaging because he was the 4-3 guy who could stretch the field. Notably, they've put him on reserve PUP, so they don't think he may be done for the year. They'll see, you know, along about week 10 or 11 how things stand. But he was going to be the field stretcher. You know, they didn't mind parting with Brandon Marshall for lots of reasons, but he was also a little bit redundant with Alshon Jeffrey. So that was the guy who was going to open up the run game, and they are going to run the football, which is another thing to watch tonight. You're going to see what they get from a lot of backups. But you're going to see the philosophy of the Bears, what it's going to be this year. Yeah, losing Kevin White to the stress fracture was painful in so many ways for this team and for that kid.
Talking right now with John Mullen from CSN Comcast in Chicago about this Bears team. What's the latest on Alshon Jeffrey? Is he going to be even ready when this season opens up?
Well, you'd say yes, because, I mean, how bad can a calf muscle be? And yet he hasn't even been on the field, let alone practicing. So whatever he did to it, and, you know, the coaches are just not, they don't protect the players. They're not giving out a lot of medical information. He's not a speed guy anyway. And the one thing I would say to keep an eye on, you know, he won't play tonight, but he's in a contract year. So you know the kid is trying to get healthy and getting back on the field so he doesn't get any you know, saddled with any injury-prone label. So, yeah, that's another. So big picture, you pull the camera back. I don't know what the Bears' offense is going to be because their two best receivers, presumed best receivers, haven't even been on the field much.
John, another transition that I'd like you to just kind of give us your take on is that transition from that 4-3 cover 2 defense. And how has John Fox come in and really taken that personnel and transitioned them into the 3-4 scheme that they'll now currently run?
Yeah, the guys like it. It's very interesting. You're having guys like Jared Allen, who's the fifth all-time sack guy or whatever his high ranking is, who's had to learn to play in a two-point stance. And I was kidding him on that. I said, look, you're old. Now you don't have to bend over. You got to love this team. So he's actually earned a starting job because it wasn't given to him as an outside guy in this new scheme. You have another guy, Willie Young, who led the team in sacks last year. Willie's coming off a torn Achilles, so there's another guy who might actually be a dangerous pass rusher, albeit we're talking guys that are 6'5", 6'6", who are not your traditional linebackers. So I think the fit has been surprisingly good, and yet when you have both of your nose tackles, which is Jeremiah Ratliff, and then the rookie, Eddie Goldman from Florida State, was their second-round pick. Eddie had a concussion, so he's not playing tonight. If you take your two best defensive linemen away, then it's kind of hard to tell what's working on defense.
It certainly is tough to tell when you lose that because you haven't got the full picture of what's going on. You haven't really got the chance to get the full picture going on all offseason. How's Jay Cutler look for you, and is the team comfortable with Jay Cutler, and what's the impact going to be of the change, the loss of Mark Trestman on Cutler and Forte?
Well, I think if there's one major bright spot, again, it's only Al Iverson. Yeah, we're just talking about practice here. He hasn't thrown any interceptions. And I mean, even in the drills, I think he had one in a 7-on-7, or excuse me, had one in one practice, a 1-on-1 interception, which is odd. And then I think he got picked once in a 7-on-7 drill in Indy. That's huge when you're talking about the NFL's leading turnover machine last year. So, and that has been such a focus of this team. Like coaches privately and publicly saying, that's everything with this guy. If he's got the talent, we just can't have him putting the ball in the wrong color laundry basket. So that has been something. He won't play tonight, obviously, but that makes everybody better. And that makes the defense better because so many times last year he gave the defense a 40-yard field to defend. So that's been everything on offense for them this year.
John, has just to reference Jay Cutler, has the transition from Trestman now to John Fox also helped take some of the spotlight off of Jay Cutler from a leadership standpoint and a captain standpoint? I just know that he's been, you know, negatively depicted over the course of years by other teammates. Has that kind of settled down with the transition to John Fox?
Yes. Yeah, it has, and yet there's less of it. It's less of an issue inside the team than it is with the media. And everybody in the public, you think, well, the quarterback, that's, you're so used to seeing Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, the guys who grab the flag and say, follow me, and they're good enough to make it stick. Jason's not that guy. And, you know, what you need, going back a few years, when the Bears were even good in the mid last decade, the leaders on this team were not always the quarterback. They were Brian Urlacher, the middle linebacker. They were Charles Tillman. They just, you know, Lance Briggs. They were Olin Kreutz, the center on offense. So what they just need are players who are good enough to be leaders, and that's ultimately, you can't be a rah-rah guy. You've got to be good enough to be the, quote, leader. Jay just hasn't been that. You know, I think a lot of the players, they're much better with him personally than I think the outside world thinks sometimes. I mean, Kyle Long loves the guy, and Kyle Long is a no-nonsense guy. That's how his kid is, and put up with crap. So the attention has been so much on how good's the defense going to be, anybody on the right side block. And meanwhile, Jay hasn't thrown any interceptions, so he's been kind of a non-issue, which I think is a pleasant change for the kid.
Absolutely. John, you were here in Chicago. You know, our quarterback now, Josh McCown, spent some very good years with the Bears. What were your impressions of him, and what can Browns fans expect from McCown as a guy who's going to go out there and not start five games where he throws 13 touchdowns for one with one interception, but a guy who's going to hopefully start 16 games?
Yeah, you know, this is an intangible. He is actually one of those guys who is a personality leader. I'm not sure. In fact, who told me this? One of the veterans said, in all the years I've been with this team, I've never seen a guy as well-liked by all of us as Josh. Now, that doesn't matter if you're throwing 13 picks and one touchdown. But what you're going to get from him, and this goes back into 2013, because there were coaches who wanted to stay with him and not go back to Jay Cutler when Cutler came back from an injury. Josh runs an offense. If you give him a good system, again, he's got physical limitations. He's what, 212 years old at this point. But he won't. If he's throwing interceptions, it's probably because he's getting beat up and people are running in his face and stuff like that. The pattern that he established late was a good technician. Now, again, most teams would take a good game manager. In fact, in Chicago, compared to Cutler, game managers sounded pretty good. So what you're getting from him is a real straight shooter and a teammate who I think, as much as he can, will make the whole greater than some of the parts if he gets some support. And you just can't beat him up. And so maybe it's up to Joe Thomas and those boys to keep him at his best.
John, appreciate the time. Enjoy the game tonight, the preseason finale between the Browns and the Bears.
Will do.
All right, John Mullen from CSN Comcast in Chicago. When we come back, we're going to bring in the Gribbs and KJ, and we're going to get into the Thursday forecast alongside Matt Wilhelm. I'm Nathan Zagura. Thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, live from the Red Ivy in Chicago, where you can come out right now and win two tickets to the Browns and the Bears. You got to be here to win, though. That's coming up when we come back.